Welcome back to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers pregame show. I'm Colin Casey, joined ahead of another series, along with manager Ricky Rivera. Ricky, great to have you back in town after a six-game road trip to Charleston, South Carolina, and also a rare 2 days off in between. Did you kind of just take it easy on those 2 days, or how'd you spend your rare couple of days off?
Yeah, man, good to get back home, you know, enjoy those off days home instead of having to be on the road in a hotel stuck, you know. Nothing like sleeping in your own bed for me and for our own guys, you know, getting that rest and hopefully a final push before the All-Star break that we can reset for 3 or 4 days and get right back to work. But nothing, man, just preparing for the week and, you know, making sure that the guys that had to come in and get their rehab stuff done and get ready to play because we got 12 in a row.
Yeah, it's going to be the busiest time of the year with 12 straight games, 6 here in Fayetteville against the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and another 6 on the road immediately after that, starting with the 4th of July game against the Carolina Mudcats up in Zebulon. But back to last week real quick, it's also marked the start of the second half of the year with the second 3 games of that series against the Charleston River Dogs, counting towards second half. You end up going 1-2 in those games, but probably more importantly, after those 3 games, you find out that a couple of your big arms end up getting promoted in Nolan DeVos and Nick Swanson. Ricky, starting with Nolan, we've seen him now pitch for a little over a year cumulatively after the time he spent following him being drafted in the 5th round last year by Houston. What can you say about his development and the strides he's made in that 12-month span?
DeVos is awesome, man. Captain Project, as we call him here in the clubhouse, was just a guy that just, you know, he knew how to take care of his business. You know, he came to work. I know he was dealing with some injury stuff after that play at the plate against Kannapolis, I believe, middle of May. He had been trying to bounce back from that, a little groin. Nothing serious, but it kind of just kept lingering. And I know those final 2 starts, he felt like himself again, and we saw what he could do. He was dominant per usual. Excited to see the guy move forward. And then Nick Swanson's a nice story, you know, a guy that's repeating this level could have easily been upset or, you know, had an attitude about it or feel like felt entitled to leaving or being at another level or whatever the case was. But the kid showed up to work every day, didn't complain about being here, you know, took every day, took pride in his development, took pride in being a good teammate. And obviously performances were outstanding throughout the year, so he was more than deserving for that call-up. So always sad to see those guys leave, but really, really cool to send guys up. I was just putting them on my door as I put every guy that gets called up, and I hope that door is full with cards by the end of the year.
Yeah, the first thing I noticed when I walked down here is I saw those 2 guys added the board, and sure enough, that door is really filling up with baseball cards. Back to Swanee for a second. He closed out the series with that 6-3 victory on Sunday, and he ended up going 4-2 scoreless, struck out 7 River Dogs batters, but you took him out with 1 out left in the ball game in favor of Ian Faugo. What was that conversation like, kind of taking him out of the mound? Did you know at that point that he was going to get the call up to Asheville?
So that's funny you bring it up, because I actually told him he was getting called up on the mound, so it was a really cool moment for him. It was actually a pitch count thing. Like, he was going. Like, he had 2 outs, and we let him face that 3rd one, but I also didn't want him to throw 100 pitches this last outing here or whatever it was, but it was pretty cool because I told everybody in the dugout, hey guys, I'm about to tell Swanson he's getting called up, and they were like, what? And I was like, yes, I'm going to take him out of this game and tell him he's getting called up to Asheville. So the guys were extremely excited for him, waiting for him in the dugout, and then when I told the guys on the mound, they all kind of gave him a hug, and, you know, it was my best pitching move of the year, I would say.
Yeah, I'm sure he certainly appreciated getting that news coming off the dugout. I'm sure it was a real emotional moment for him. But turning the page now to this week against Kannapolis, and specifically tonight's ball game, it's a big opportunity for Manuel Urias, who gets the mound to start the ball game. It'll be the first start he makes in a Fayetteville Woodpeckers uniform. Obviously, he spent time in the Phillies system and was used as a starting pitcher then. What can you tell us about some of the expectations that you have for him now, instead of coming out of the bullpen, getting an opportunity as a starting pitcher tonight?
Well, we just talked about this as a team in the pregame meeting or pre-practice meeting this today, how excited I am because of the development. You know, as you all saw, he's a Rule 5 guy. You know, he's a guy that stayed in the FCL, you know, got the call up here to start the year, had a couple good outings, then had the blow up in Carolina, you know, where he loses a 3-run lead. He could have easily not cashed it in, because that's not the type of guys we have in our org, but he could have easily been upset about it, and it could have carried over and leaked over. But he moved on fast. He closed the game that week. He went 2 or 3 innings. He proved that he could be a starter, you know, and it's going to be really, really exciting for me to just see him out there for the first couple of innings, because you know, at least you know that he's going to compete, you know, and that's the only thing I can ask for him once he steps on the mound, you know, guy that takes care of his work, does his work with Wilkins, and his prep work. So, like, I can't ask him for more than just go out there and compete, and that's something he does every outing.
Yeah, another guy coming off a great outing as well in Charleston with the 3 scoreless innings he pitched to close out that game earlier last week. Another guy, we actually talked about him the last time I was down here for the pregame show, but Luis Encarnacion, and you said specifically that Anka just hits, man, and he's continued to really hit in the month of June, hitting .333, highest average on the team. Had hits in 5 of 6 games last week against Charleston. You've coached him a long time now, going back to last year. What can you say about him continuing to take steps after step and get better and better by the day?
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Anka just hits.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid just hits. He finds way. He competes with 2 strikes. He hits the ball hard early in the count. You know, he obviously, at the beginning of the year, he was only seeing results against lefties, it felt like. He couldn't carry over against righties. But that, it's an adjustment period. You know, at the end of the day, the kid's, what, 20, 19 years old? You know, I think he just turned 20, like, recently. Just first year in affiliate baseball, you know. Getting his feet wet, trying to figure out how to play in front of fans. That's an adjustment period for all these kids, not just Anka. But if something we've seen throughout his career is the kid hits. You know, the kid finds a way to barrel the baseball and put competitive at-bats, which he wasn't doing earlier in the season for us. But now he's finally came along. You know, do I expect him to stay this hot? Probably not. You know, that's a bit unrealistic. But do I expect him to hit the rest of the year? Absolutely. You know, and I also expect a lot of our guys to hit. But with him, we've seen it. You know, we have the sample size big enough at whether it was the FCL or DSL levels where he's hit and has success. And I don't think it's luck with him. I don't think it's luck. Like, the kid hits, he puts the work in.
After I talked with him at the end of last week's series, after he had that 4-hit game on Sunday against the Columbia Fireflies, seemed like he's a big favorite also in the dugout. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. He's a favorite in the dugout. I mean, he plays hard. He's kind of got that old school vibe to him. He cares a lot about every guy. He goes out of his way to try to learn English. Doesn't shut up ever. Brings the energy every day. That's just Anka, man. Anka's gonna Anka.
I like that. Last thing, circling back to the pitching, actually, with the promotions of both Nolan and Nick, it's 2 big losses in your rotation, but you still come into this series leading the league in strikeouts, and with what Zach Wilkins and that pitching staff has done this year has been really impressive. Do you expect there to be really much of a lull in as far as the pitching performance, or do you see it to just be kind of, you know, another day at the office for a lot of these guys? Because it seems like every single guy that stepped in this year has stepped up and shown a lot of life on the mound. What are some of the things you look forward to now with those 2 guys gone and who you expect to really kind of step forward and really take the bull by the horns now in the second half?
Well, I expect all of them to, you know, I always preach to my guys, you don't need to step up, you just need to do your job. You know, you don't need to replace anybody. If you do your job, that's enough, you know, especially with the talent we have here. Obviously, the organization's done an outstanding job of drafting guys in international signings on the mound. I mean, our staff is as good as I've seen around the league and other leagues as well. You know, we obviously lose those 2 guys, but we saw last week we got an Andrew Taylor that's healthy now, you know, and looks better than when he left us in the last minutes, you know. We can get us back from that injury. Progress is going well for him, so I'm excited to see if he comes back, you know, and when he comes back. Obviously, Urias steps into a starter role now, gives us a little bit of help. Fleury doesn't have to just throw 2 innings like he did last week because there's 2 other guys in the piggyback or whatever it is, you know. We can extend him a little bit, a guy that's been very solid for us. So we have the bodies to do it. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to lose those guys, but this is what this level's for, and I couldn't be more excited for those guys to move up, and I couldn't be more excited for the opportunity this presents for guys like Chirinos and Santa and guys that we can extend, you know, and really prove the value they have, not just for us as a team, but for the organization.
Yeah, and I guess circling back one last time to the 2 days you spent off, of course, the College World Series was on. Were you pulling for LSU or Florida? Did you have any rooting interest? Did you watch the games at all? And were you watching the games at all, or was it just following along on your phone, or what was going on?
No, I watched the games. I mean, obviously, that's high-level baseball, man. Those teams were playing. That was really cool to see. I mean, That's a lot of top five rounders in those two teams combined. I think the first three picks are projected to come out of there, or first three out of four, whatever the situation ends up being. But just really cool to see, you know, high level baseball. I mean, those guys play hard. Those guys are playing, you know, to win every pitch, the crowd, the atmosphere. You know, there's nothing like the College Baseball World Series, you know. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to watch. And obviously everybody wants to watch Skeens and Cruz and those guys, you know, see what they do on a daily basis. And they're pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, with those two guys, at least the teams in front of them, are you happy to see that there's a strong likelihood that they won't be ending up in the Carolina League and having to face off against them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't – I mean, you want whatever's best for the kid. I don't really pay too much attention where they land. I do believe in our development system over anything. And whoever lands with us, I'm going to be excited that that person will be in the Carolina League with us, or even if they move up to Asheville off the bat, you know. Like, I do trust, and there's plenty of past draft guys' experience and information that shows you how good we've drafted and our scouting system's been. So, like, we might get another Gilbert and get another Steele in that 30th pick or whatever pick we're picking. So,
at those times coming shortly with the draft less than 2 weeks away. Ricky Rivera, great to always talk with you, and should be another great series at home as the Woodpeckers take on the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Best of luck this week.
Appreciate it, man. Go Packers.